Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I have a great guest today, Kevin Koskela. And Kevin is an online entrepreneur and digital nomad. He decided he wanted to be free of the corporate world when he lost his job after the dot-com bubble burst. With a history of competitive swimming, he returned to the water and started doing part-time work as a swim instructor and personal trainer. In 2005, he turned Tri-Swim Coach, his business teaching swimmers to become triathlete, into a full-time location, independent online business. It's my pleasure today to welcome Kevin to the show.
Thanks, Melinda. It's really exciting to be here.
Wonderful. Well, Kevin, just fill us a little bit more in on these on your journey a little bit, this bio, and then I'm really anxious to hear a little bit more about your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question that comes up the most is, how do you teach swimmers online that aren't in your area? Like, how do you do that? And that's something I'll talk about. But we're able to do that now with the internet. It's amazing. But just going back to childhood, really, I've always valued freedom. And that's something that's been kind of a consistent theme throughout my life. And when I was growing up, I had, kind of a strict upbringing. So I was always being sent to my room. And I can't remember why, but it seemed like I was always in my room and I couldn't leave. And so that felt very constricting to me. And I got to really dislike this idea of not being in control of myself, and having anybody else make decisions for me was just terrible to me. It's just like the worst feeling. So that sort of grew into then going to school and everything. I really didn't like the way school was structured, having to sit at a desk and having the bell ring, and you're just constantly on this schedule that is designed for you. And then the subjects are all pre-planned, so you don't have really any choice. And all of that was just not a lot of fun for me. And I kind of rebelled against it. Didn't have any interest in school at all. Very rarely would I be interested in a subject because of the structure of it. And so that sort of led to me going out, like once I got through school, and I did the traditional thing. I went to college, got a degree because that's what everybody was doing. And I thought that's what you had to do. And then so I was really following kind of the traditional path. But as I got into the corporate world, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do, I had a lot of struggles with that. I couldn't really, like, none of the jobs that I had, I just couldn't see myself staying. Didn't like the idea of having a boss and the corporate structures of, having to try to work your way up the ladder. All that just absolutely did not work for me. But it took me so long to figure all this out. I just thought that it had to be the place I was working, or the boss that I had, or some circumstance that I could change by just getting another job. But eventually I got laid off from a job that I had, and that's when it really changed. Everything really changed. And then I just went off and I'm like, I just have to do my own thing. I don't know what it is, but I know I have to do my own thing. So I started a business. And do you want me to continue on with this?
I want to just step in. One question I wanted to ask you there, because this is kind of sort of the things that a lot of people like to know. How long? You said it took you a while to figure that out. Was it a couple of years? Was it 5 years? Yeah. Was it 10 years? Like, how long did it take you to really come to that conclusion?
Yeah, it was a good solid 5 years. And, that was probably had like 5 or 6 jobs during that 5 year period. Some of them lasted a little over a year, some of them just a few months. But it was really kind of trying to chase down what was going to make me feel kind of more satisfied with my life. And none of those jobs were that. Some of them had elements of it. Like, the best was when I had a little bit of freedom within my job. Like, I didn't have a boss that was, if I didn't have a boss that was hands-on or micromanaging me, that was a lot better. But it just never felt quite right. So yeah, I would say about 5 years before I took the plunge.
Okay. And you kind of were forced to take the plunge. Do you think that if you hadn't have gotten laid off, would you still have continued down that path? Do you ever stop and think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it would have taken me longer. I think getting laid off was a great thing that happened. For some people, that's just a horrible thing. It's like, oh my God, I got fired. What am I going to do? But when I got laid off, I kind of knew that when that happened, that this was a good thing, even though I immediately started interviewing for another job. But right away, like the first couple interviews I went on, I was like, this is not what I want to do at all. And I didn't care about the money as much. I was kind of like, well, you know, happiness and satisfaction and feeling more freedom is way more important to me than money. So yeah, that's where I ended up.
Okay. You know, I was in a job, this has been many, 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 many moons ago, and I was working there and I kind of felt the same way. And they were doing layoffs and they kind of let us know that two people were going to be laid off. It was going to be predominantly on seniority. And so I wasn't at the bottom of that totem pole. And people were so worried about losing their job. I mean, like scared and worried. And especially this one lady who pretty much knew that it was going to be her. And I just saw her so like physically worried about this. And so I just went to the people and I said, look, I don't really care. Lay me off. Because I just looked at it as this incredible opportunity to go do what I really wanted to do. And so right. I took the voluntary layoff and she got to keep her job, which I was happy for her. And that was began the whole path of everything for me. So I do think that sometimes we have to recognize, like, I think people in life just get stuck and then nothing ever comes along that makes them take that close look. And then they just keep doing it out of habit, out of, I don't know, necessity, out of not wanting to change, out of rocking the boat a little bit. A fear, of course, is the biggest one. And fear of what? And I think that people don't, I sat there and thought, oh, I'm going to lose my job. Like, fear, what am I really losing? How much? How soon could I replace that? What would I do if I wanted to replace that? And it was like, there was all kinds of options available to me. And I don't think a lot of people even stop and have that real conversation with themselves. So,
yeah, it reminds me of there's this idea. There's a book that I read years ago called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. And it discusses all the traps that we put ourselves in. And that's one of them. Like you get into a job or a career and it just sort of becomes this trap that you're creating for yourself. Or like, I can't do anything else. I don't know how I would ever survive without this job. Or it could be a relationship, like this relationship is everything. And if it doesn't work, then I'm going to be crushed. But then it sort of limits our ability to grow and be more free. So yeah, there's a lot of tips in there about how to get out of those, because there's always ways out. There's always ways around things that are making you miserable.
Sure. So do you remember who the author on that was?
Yeah, his name is Harry Brown, and the Brown is with an E at the end.
Oh, fantastic. I know we're always looking for really great books, and I know our listeners are as well. I do a book review with a newsletter that we do, so I'm always... I kind of had gotten away from that for a little bit, but I'm back on it again. And it's so funny because when I force myself and commit to this book review to all of our followers, then it makes me go, okay, you got to really read this book and you got to pay attention because you're going to do a book review on it. But that was the years when I was doing that so consistently, I had the most growth in my business because I was just learning things and it was exciting and I didn't find it to be a chore. And then I quit and now I'm like, gosh, I got to get back on my game. I'm forcing myself to get back in that game by committing again to doing a newsletter.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I feel so much better when I'm learning because I do the same thing. I'll do it for a while where I'm very consistent and I'm learning things every day, and then I'll fall off the wagon. And then it's been months since I've even read something, you know, interesting new. And I start doing it again and it feels like it really helps all parts of your life.
It really does. Great. So tell us a little bit then about your business now and how it's shaped your lifestyle.
Yeah. So I'll kind of start where we left off. So I basically came out of the corporate world and I had no idea anything about business. I didn't know about how to start a business. I mean, I had experience working in a cubicle doing sales and marketing and account management and things where I was mostly sitting at a desk and managing just one little aspect of a business. And so I kind of took the plunge by I did two things. One is I took a part-time job as a swim coach because I had always been a swimmer, but I'd never actually coached or taught swimming. And that was interesting to me. I mean, there was no money in it. It was just very little money. But it was something that was interesting to me. So I'm like, I'm going to do something that I really like doing. And so I started that. And that was actually really enjoyable. So I was teaching adults swimming. And I was coaching a master's team, which is 18 and over. Most of them aren't competitive, but they want like a workout in the pool. So I was the coach of a small group. And then from there, I started doing personal training because I always thought like, I want to do something that's completely opposite of sitting at a desk and do something physical. So I always like fitness and health and everything. So I got into personal training. So I was doing that for a little bit. And then that led to a website. So I had a personal training business. So I started a website with that. And I had just a couple of people that told me how to do certain things and got that going. Never made any money on the website, just kind of had it as my, just if you want to find my business, here's the website. But then I found out about something called internet marketing and internet business. And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. So I started learning about that. And I thought, what could I do? Like, what could I offer online? And then I took what was my, at that time, was my passion and my hobby and, you know, a lot of my life, which was coaching swimming and teaching adults in swimming. And I created a website called TriSwimCoach.com. I started out with just giving lessons. Like, I was just doing in-person swim lessons for anybody that came to me. And there's an unlimited amount of people that need swim lessons. I mean, it's either people that are just starting learning how to swim to people that want to get better. There's all sorts of people. And then there's the people that are doing triathlons, which is swim, bike, run competitions.
Sure.
And yeah, and those are really popular here in California and a lot of other places too. But that's who came to me mostly, was people that were doing triathlons. So I started growing my, you know, kind of client base with swimming clients, and this was a niche that I found, and I thought, you know, why not bring this out to, if this is popular here, why not bring it out to a website and bring it out to the world? So I did that. So I created a website for TriSwimCoach, and then I started with just putting some workout plans on the website. And I didn't know how to do anything at that time. Like, I paid somebody $100 to build a website, build the first version of the website. And then, but I was able to figure out how to put a PDF file that had a list of workouts and then attach a PayPal checkout to that so that people could buy my workouts. And I was charging like $15 or something. And like right at the very beginning, like the day after I put that PayPal button up, I made a sale. And so it was like, wow, this actually works. It's like, it's so amazing. Now that sale, that was a total disaster because I didn't have the back end set up right. The person couldn't access the PDF files. They couldn't even download it. And they were pretty angry, but yeah. I solved all that, you know, and it got through it. But it was just the excitement of making some money online without even being there, without having to even talk to that person, was just so mind blowing to me because that was everything that I wanted. And I realized that it was like, this is the business I want. I don't want to be, you know, beating people over the head to sell them stuff. I want people coming to me and buying things from me that it's all the information's there.
Wow. That's awesome. And you know, it is like, I think, I loved that you shared that it didn't go. People always say, and then I put up online and then I just started getting orders and life was great. It's like, it yeah, I wish it was like that, but it isn't. But you just have to sort of stick with it and work through some of those challenges. And you're always kind of tweaking that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. I like that you said that too, that there are so many stories out there where you feel like someone just did something, they put it online, and then, oh, hey, I was making seven figures the next year. And it's like, how is that even possible? But yeah, for me, it did not work. It did not work like that at all. It was like, I made a sale. And then the next month I remember this because I remember trying to figure out like, if this could actually be a business, or is it just kind of like a little side thing? And I remember the next month I made 19 sales. It was like, I think I was charging $15 or $17 for my ebook or a PDF. It wasn't even an ebook then, it was a PDF. And so that to me was like incredibly exciting. I was like, this is amazing. And I didn't know where, like, if I could do any more than that or not, but I was like, I made 19 sales of this thing that I created. And it's like, But that, I mean, obviously, you know, what is, you know, maybe that was a couple hundred bucks or whatever. It wasn't like, oh, okay, now I can stop everything and just do this. That took about probably 2 years or so to get to the point where I was like, okay, now I'm making an income where I don't have to worry about other jobs and, you know, applying for jobs and doing part-time work and things like that.
That's great. And I love that you shared that because, and it's also, we've talked to our listeners and they hate that too. They hate the, you know, oh, and I was just sitting at home and was having a hard time paying my bills. And I then decided to start this. And now I've got a 7-figure income and we've got a ranch. And you're like, what? So it's like, what happened in the middle? And I think people need to like have some expectations that are realistic. And people kind of need to know a little bit more about that journey. So I love that you shared that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It is definitely a journey.
So what are a couple of your skill sets that you feel that have helped you in owning your own business?
Well, for me, it's been, the first thing has been being able to let things go that I either don't have the skills to do or don't want to involve myself with. And that means like when, like I said, when I first started my website, I didn't know HTML. I didn't know anything about graphic design. And so, and I thought, and I could sit there and learn it and take 6 months out of my life to learn all this stuff. Or I could get on, at that time it was Elance.com, find a freelancer that could just put something up. I mean, it, you know, it didn't have to be amazing. And, you know, for $100, I had a website and I got going and I made a sale. And that to me is something that I've been able to do from the beginning. I never had that kind of personality, I guess, that I wanted to figure it all out and then do it. I just did something. I just take action and then tweak it as you go. And like, it definitely was not anywhere near a perfect site when I started, but then eventually I was making enough sales so that I could afford a little bit more expensive designer. And then I had a much nicer site, you know, a few months later, because I could make those sales. But if I had just waited and kind of looked and try to figure out how to program and stuff like that, it would take me a lot longer. And then I wouldn't even, that's not really what I want to do. I mean, I think it's good to know a little bit of code just so you have a basic idea of how it works and you can do a few basic things, but I don't have any desire to be a programmer or a designer. So I think those, you know, those are the things that, I think is part of my skill set. And let's see, you said a couple things.
Sure. That one's good. I think that's an important one is, you know, this is what people, when they start their own businesses, and this is even like a brick and mortar business, like a florist, for example. I had a friend and she just loved doing floral arrangements. And so she thought, oh, I want to own a florist, and saved up her money. And she ended up, you know, buying a florist. And, but pretty soon there was so much other stuff to do that she started doing all the other stuff and started hiring people to do floral arrangements. And all the other stuff that she was doing, she just felt like, well, I'm the owner, I should do that. But she hated it. And she ended up closing her business and saying, you know, I hated my florist business. But you want to know what? Had she done that differently? And I always share this story because had she found someone to do her books, had she found someone to do doing the inventory or researching or whatever, and just stuck to, you know, creating these absolutely beautiful, gorgeous bouquets that people were like, oh, they've got the best, or I love that. You got to go in there. Their customer service is so fantastic. The lady, the designer is incredible. If she would have stuck to that instead of hiring people that weren't as talented to put together the bouquet arrangements, and she's doing the bookkeeping and inventory and all of this stuff, and then her business failed. And she could have had a very successful business if she would have stuck to what she loved and hired out the things she didn't.
Yeah, there's that book, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, The E-Myth Revisited.
Oh, yeah.
It just describes that perfectly, like that exact scenario and how you can keep it going. And another part that I've been successful is figuring out what it is that I enjoy, like what is it in your business that you enjoy doing, and try to eliminate everything else. That is so key right there. You may not do it, you know, it may take you a while and you may just have to do one little thing at a time. Like my first thing was emails, like doing emails. Like, I don't want to answer support emails. And that was driving me nuts. So I got somebody, I hired a VA from the Philippines, and she started taking on all my emails that came in, all the support emails that didn't have, it weren't directed at me, just directed at something to do with business and the transaction or a question about our product, whatever it is. And that was like a huge thing for me to get rid of taking, getting all these emails coming in. So then you just go from there. And then what else can you do? You get, you can go a little bit higher level, then out, maybe outsource at some point your social media. So you're not sitting there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram all day trying to post things. I mean, you can have someone do your posts and things like that. And then you can boil it down to what part of the business is your enjoyment. And for me, my thing that I really like doing is writing. And so I do a lot of email marketing, which I enjoy. And then I do this thing. So a couple of years ago, I went through this course that I found online, and it was about why you should contact your list every day or almost every day, instead of sending, most people do like a weekly newsletter or a monthly newsletter, but creating this relationship with the people that subscribe to you by sending them more emails. Yes, it's going to result in more unsubscribes. People are going to go, oh, you sent too many emails. But you're going to have a much more dedicated following and people that really connect with you if you send them an email every day. And so I went through this course and I learned kind of how to do it and, you know, how to set up the emails. And I just absolutely loved it. So I started emailing my list. Well, I do 5 days a week. You can do, you know, seven, a lot of people do 7 days. I do 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Every day I send them an email. And it can be any topic. I don't care what your topic is, what you're selling. I mean, you could be selling, like you said, flower bouquets or how to knit, or like for me, it's swimming. But you can relate parts of your life, like whatever's going on for you, to your topic. So I write a lot of emails that have to do with everything but swimming, but I can relate it back to swimming. And so that's been something that is really it's really picked up my business quite a bit. And I was kind of fading for a while. I was like, I'm getting kind of bored with things. But once I started doing that, I started getting responses from people. And then eventually people were like, hey, I love your emails. They're amazing. And they're really helpful. And I'm like, wow, that makes me feel really good. Like, I feel like I'm helping people, and I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm not saying, like, I always have a message at the end with an offer, but I'm not, like, while I'm writing it, I'm just thinking about, how can I help these people and connect with them and relate to what their challenges and their goals are?
I'm with you. You know what? And I just have to say this because it's been bugging me like crazy. So I don't mind getting emails from people. Like, okay, I get the whole, you see an ad and it says the five things you must never eat. Let's just go with that one because it's out there a lot. So you click on it, and at the end, you don't really get the five things you must never eat. They tell you a couple of things, and then they say, click here and give us your email address or whatever, and we'll give you the five things you must never eat. So you do that, then you get this long, you know, 45-minute webinar about all these things, and then at the end, it's like you must buy this product. And I have actually watched the whole thing and then went, okay, I'll buy the product. So the way I see it, now I'm a customer. But I keep getting these same emails from them like daily. And it's always, what's the truth about, I'm just giving it an example. What's the truth about avocados? Well, you want to know what? I don't know what the truth about avocados is because I haven't watched another 45-minute video. Why can't you give me, as your valuable customer who's already purchased from you, give me a tip about why avocados are good, bad, and different. I don't even know what the truth about them is. So I finally just said unsubscribe because every single one was like that. And I do think, yeah, we sell things and we might make an offer at the end or whatever that we do, but you've got to give some value or content to people for them to feel connected to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where podcasting is so big too. I mean, you know, people hearing your voice and your personality and everything, I think that's just an amazing means that is just now, I think, starting to get out there and become a popular way of basically consuming content.
It is. And it's growing in popularity every day. So I'm pretty excited about that myself. So tell us then what working from your happy place means to you.
So, yeah, when I think of that, when I first saw your email, Work From Your Happy Place, I thought of like sitting on a beach somewhere in paradise with palm trees and maybe like a tropical drink and all this stuff. So,
right.
But really, it's not really that. I mean, that's kind of the image that I have, because I think when I grew up, and the first time I remember going to a beach, like a real beach, like I grew up in Northern California, the beaches up there are just kind of like foggy and there it's really hardly ever sunny. And there's definitely no palm trees, and the water is really cold. And so when I came to Southern California and I went to Newport Beach, I remember thinking, this is the most amazing place I've ever seen. And so I always have that in my mind, just like a big, long beach with sunshine and that kind of thing as being like my happy place and my meditative, like, this is where I want to be and things like that. But really, when I break it down, it comes down to having the freedom to either work or not work. And Tim Ferriss had the book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And I think he got a lot of criticism for the title because everybody's like, oh, you don't work 4 hours. Nobody works 4 hours. That's impossible. And he says, yeah, I don't. He's like, I work a lot more than 4 hours. But that isn't the point of that title. It's, first of all, it's provocative. And everyone, you know, you see that. And you're like, what is a 4-hour work week? But secondly, it's the idea that you have the option to work just 4 hours. Like if you wanted to just work 4 hours in a week, things wouldn't fall apart. You could do that and you have that freedom. So that's really, you know, working for my happy place would be having the freedom and then being able to set up my business in ways that are fulfilling. So not having the feeling that I have to do something, but rather that I want to do it and being able to do the things that are bring me that life satisfaction. So, and that includes, like we just talked about, not having to do everything in my business, because I tell you, like, I really, really hate accounting. I just hate it. Like, I can't sit there and do numbers. It's just not something I've ever wanted to do. And if I had to do that every day and manage all that, plus do all the things that I do, I just think I would end up hating my business. So, doing the things that I like we talked about, the writing. I get a lot of satisfaction about feeling connected to my audience and feeling like I am making a difference in some way. And so having that as part of my business is part of this, you know, working from my happy place. And then I also like not having to commute. So that's the other thing, is like, I've been working at this co-working spot that's directly across the street from where I live. So my commute is like a 1.5-minute walk.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, I just wanted to add a point to that, because when you said that, I started having a thought, but it's like, so I used to, in the very beginning of my business, I did all my own accounting and bookkeeping. And I do enjoy it. Like find that to be, I love numbers. I love adding. I love seeing the result at the end. And as years have gone on though, I've released that because it's something I don't need to spend my time on. Mm-hmm. My time is more valuable of what I could earn in an hour of what I would pay a bookkeeper in an hour or 2 hours. And they can do it quicker because they're more efficient with it than maybe I could. And so that's something I've kind of let go a long time ago, but it had nothing to really do with not enjoying it.
Right.
It had everything to do with, yes, I can do this. Because I hear people all the time, and my husband's kind of guilty of this. He'll say, well, I'll just do that. You know, why would we hire somebody to do that? Well, we're going to pay, I'll just use mowing the lawn, although we do have a lawn service. But it's like, you're going to pay somebody $35 to mow the lawn, which takes them, I don't know, like an hour or so. And it's like, when he's a recording engineer, and what's he get paid an hour? I'm like, look at mm-hmm. your time value. It, unless you just really need to relax and you find mowing the lawn relaxing.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? And it's like, okay, right. And I hear people saying this all the time. Well, I don't mind mowing the lawn. Well, that's fine if you wouldn't be doing anything else with that time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have a friend that told me that he actually really likes doing dishes. And I'm like, okay, maybe you do, but dishes still take some time. And I could get myself into a state of mind that I don't dislike it. Like I could put on some music or put on a podcast or something, and while I'm doing my dishes, I could have that. But I would rather outsource that stuff and have more the time to spend doing tons of other things besides cleaning dishes or doing the lawn, mowing the lawn, or like I just had a plumbing issue that with my bathtub, it wouldn't drain. And I spent about an hour trying to fix it, but I didn't have the tools. I mean, yeah, go on YouTube and find all the how to do it. I probably could have done that. It would have taken me like 3 days, but you know, a plumber came in here 5 minutes. It was done. $129.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So what advice would you give to others who are thinking about sort of breaking away and doing their own thing, maybe being an entrepreneur, maybe even doing a side hustle of something that of their own? What advice would you give?
Well, you know, it took me a while to understand this, but and it's totally cliche, but it really comes down to fulfillment in what you're doing. And that if you can maintain your excitement about something, that's going to be the key to your success. Because success is just a word. I mean, we can define it in all sorts of different ways. A lot of people think of it as money, like how much money am I making? Oh, I was making $60,000 a year at my job, and this online business is only bringing in $50,000 a year. So then I was more successful when I was working at a job. I think that's not even close. Like if you were, for me, I would trade much more freedom for less money any day. So I would say that the cliche that money doesn't matter, you know, people get tired of hearing that, but it's something that I didn't realize until more recently that I'm chasing money. It just becomes this trap of trying to get money and at the expense of my fulfillment and my enjoyment and my happiness. And that is just, I mean, it can work for a while. Sure. Like if you're getting paid a lot of money to do something that you're kind of so-so about, you're not super excited about, you could probably do that for a while, but eventually that's going to catch up. And then for me anyway, that will not work in the long term and I'll get super demotivated. And I read this book recently, it's called Punished by Rewards. And it talked about this idea and it kind of reinforced the things that I've been observing in my own life, which is that money is actually not a very good motivator. It seems like it would be. And it may be to a certain level, but at some point, it really doesn't act as a motivator very well. He shows all these studies that show that people are generally not motivated by money, and that was just kind of mind blowing to me because it just backed up what I was thinking, and it sort of like solidified the things that I'm working on now. Like I know exactly what I want to do, and it has nothing to do with like, I need to make X amount of dollars. It's just, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to help people. And, you know, the money will follow. I know it will. I don't know, you know, like I don't have the exact amount that it's going to follow, but I know that that's way more important to me than saying, okay, I want to make like $1 million. Cause that, then I'm just sort of chasing. And again, goes back to those traps that I talked about. So yeah. So overall the aim is for enjoyment of work and increasing freedom levels to be happier in life.
That's great. It's interesting enough. And this is, I'm going to get that book for sure, but definitely in and so if, I guess if that falls into everybody, but I definitely know that there is a big difference between men and women. So I think men, and maybe it comes from this myth from years gone by that they have to be the, you know, main person earning this money, but men are more motivated by money than women. Like women are very much less motivated by money. They'd rather be doing things that are meaningful, things that are going to affect others' lives, things that they feel like they're contributing to society in a particular way or making an impact or making a difference. That's always on their list first. But I think it'll be interesting to see his statistics because maybe it's finally men are catching up with that same thought process, which is awesome.
Yeah, that would be nice to see that shift. I think you're right. I think there's a difference there. And it probably comes down to that men in society are valued, like in general, it's kind of like you're valued more for things like how much money do you make? And women don't have that kind of pressure as much, where it's not, yeah, like you said, they're like the man is usually the breadwinner and traditionally has those kind of stereotypes or
yeah.
Roles, I guess roles would be the word, roles to live up to. And that becomes, you know, again, a trap and something that is not really benefiting anybody. So
exactly. Absolutely. So how can our listeners find you, Kevin?
Yeah. So do you mind if I talk a little bit about my new business?
Oh gosh, not at all.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, we've been talking about outsourcing and, you know, how to get off, take some of the things off your plate that you don't like doing. So what I've done, and last year I started a new business called Work Hero. And what we do is we help people with the technical and the design tasks that are in their business that everybody has, that most people have on an ongoing basis. So we start with people that use WordPress, that have WordPress websites. And there are so many things that, that always need to be updated and different kinds of technical issues that happen. And what Work Hero does is we have a monthly service. So it's a monthly fee, and you can get unlimited number of tasks and designs in that for that monthly fee. And so, and we have teams that we use to do this. So we vet everybody, and we have really good people that can help you out. And so, and my motivation of doing this business is that that's what I struggled with early on, is that like, I can't do everything. So I have to have somebody doing this. And instead of running around trying to outsource like every little task that you have, this is an unlimited service. So you don't have to think about like, oh, do I want to go to Fiverr and get somebody and spend, you know, $30 on this or not. You can just send it to us and then we'll do it. And we'll usually have it back in a day or two. So, so that's the website is useworkhero.com. And so if anybody wants to try it out, it's 2 weeks free. Right now we have a 2 week free offer, so it's no risk, and send as many tasks as you want. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks so much. And do you want to just say that website again and in there, and then can people connect with you on Facebook, or how else can people connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So that for Work Hero, it's useworkhero.com, and you can just go to the site and you can even contact us there, or Facebook. We've got a Facebook page, and then what else? My TriSwim Coach, I think we gave that site. It's TriSwimCoach.com. And yeah, anyone can connect with me there. I'm on, I'm not really on Twitter that much, but I'm on Facebook and Instagram a little bit. So okay. Any of the above is good.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure chatting with you today, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Belinda. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to hear some more of your podcasts.
Okay, wonderful.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.